This is James from sorrelpunk.com, and I've got a solo episode for you. Me and Mike are procrastinating ass sons of bitches. So, this past Saturday, which Saturday is our normal podcast day, I went with my mom and we ran a 5K. There was free ice cream afterwards, and mac and cheese. It was really good mac and cheese. You know, if you run a 5K, there's always like free food at the end. Just FYI. And it was decent. I did not set records or anything, but I got out there and I ran it. So, yay me. And the times are always can be improved, and that's my goal. Is I want to I think I want to get like a 25-minute 5K. I think that's a respectable number. So yeah, that's what I did. And then me and Mike did actually hang out for a little bit, but then I went to sleep. So because I got up at like 3 a.m, so I went to sleep at like 3 p.m. No podcasting. So yeah, this weekend, come hell or high water, we will record together a podcast, so I don't have to do it Wednesday morning, the day that it goes out. But none of that matters because we are talking. I am talking. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. I am going to talk about storm preparedness. So here in the South, at least, springtime going into summertime, it's a lot of storms. We get a lot of thunderstorms. We've had one, God, like every day this week. Tennessee is nigh going to become a fucking swamp soon. It's just been the rainiest like 2 years ever. That's a fact. You can look that up. I made it up. I'll add it to the books. So yeah, I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of the rain. And so yeah, with that comes things you need to check your preps. Like we had just a random like brownout the other day, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Well, actually, I wasn't. That's fine. It was a hot day, and it was before I had got my replacement new tiny air conditioner for my tiny house. And so what I was doing was I had five fans going, one window fan pulling in air, and then surrounded myself with four fans to have this like cyclone of like moving air to keep me, you know, cool while I was asleep. Well, the brownout took out the power, and that woke me up. One, it started getting hot immediately in the loft. And second, I didn't hear the delightful sounds of the air, the fans blowing on me anymore. So pretty much jerked right awake, started getting hot, and I figured it would come back on soon. So I laid there for a while. It didn't, and that didn't, you know, I didn't go back to sleep. That sucked. So I got up and I decided to try to go sleep in the hammock downstairs, which is my couch. That didn't work. And I was like, well, fine. I'll play around. I'll do something. I'll hook up, my battery backup power to a couple like lights or the internet. Cause I bet the router would still work. And it was dead. And I was like, what was going on here? And at some point, since the last time I checked my battery banks, and I'm jumping out of order on my list here, but I had equipment failure, and that's what really gave me the idea for this show. So let's reel it back and sort of introduce the show instead of jumping around. So yeah, like I said, it's that storm season, and with it comes preps you need to do for storm season. No matter where you're at, and you may be international. Awesome. Drop me a line if you are. your seasons are going to be different, but pretty much every season there's a disaster. Here in the United States, North America, the spring, summer season is when we get our tornadoes and thunderstorms. And here in the South, we get a lot of tornadoes. Not quite as bad as like Texas, Oklahoma. They get more, but Tennessee has had its fair share of tornadoes. I've seen a few. There was a bad one when I was in high school that pretty much tore up all of East Nashville. You know, and 2012, we had a 100-year flood, so it destroyed Nashville for a while. We bounced back better than New Orleans did, but, you know, it's, and, you know, there's wildfires. And in California, you have mudslides and wildfires because of the drought. So there are things, disasters, wherever you're at, to do with, you know, good old Mother Nature, that tend to happen more now in the spring, summer, you know, blizzards and snow and ice, that brings a whole different, you know, set to the equation. But we're going to focus on spring, summer, thunderstorms, tornadoes, wildfires, floods, whatever. So, yeah, first of all, we're not going to go talking about any glitzy, glamorous, fancy-smancy prepper porn toys for you. You know, I'm not going to tell you, well, what you got to do is just cash out your 401k and go buy one of those giant moat things you put around your house to inflate it so that if a flood comes, it just, you know, your house is saved. You know, yeah, if you've got endless money, man, those things are neat. But if you're listening to this show, you probably don't. So we're not going to talk about that. The most important thing for your spring tornado, thunderstorm, bad weather, disaster plan. It's your plan. Your most important piece of gear is your plan. And it's not fancy and it's not cool. And you don't want to sit around banging out a plan. But it's the most important thing you can do. You know, it's not as cool as cleaning your guns or firing your guns, you know. But it's the plan that saves you. So you need a plan for your contingencies. So, you know, obviously if you live in southern Texas, you might still be worried about so if you live in Florida, you're not worried about tornadoes. You're not. Your plan probably needs to include tropical storms and hurricanes. That's what you need to be worrying about. So you need to find out what your local disasters are. And if you've grown up and lived in the area for a while, you're pretty familiar with this. You know that if you're in certain areas, you have wildfires to contend with, or you have tornadoes, you have bad thunderstorms. Maybe you know that you're in or around a floodplain, or, you know, not necessarily a normal floodplain, but maybe a, you know, like I said, Nashville had a 100-year flood. So it's a flood that's predicted to happen like once every 100 years. So it's this sort of freak occurrence and, you know, the dams couldn't hold it. So maybe you're not in a normal floodplain, but you could be in like a freak floodplain, you know. So, and I don't even know if you can look that up, but I'm sure some nerd somewhere has a map that's like, this is a 100-year floodplain areas. So worth looking into, worth finding out where your vulnerabilities are. So if you have, you know, if you're in Tornado Alley and you're in a mobile home, that's a liability. I mean, I live in a tiny house. If a tornado hit my tiny house, it would be obliterated. Of course, if a tornado hit dead on pretty much any home dwelling, it's going to demolish it. You're screwed. So I am fairly sheltered by trees, and because I'm not on the top of a hill, but I'm sort of on like a peak. Anyway, there's lots of gullies and valleys around me, so it would take a serious flood to get me, but you know, it could happen. You know, I just put pontoons on my tiny house and call it the Ark. But yeah, you got to work on your plan first. And parts of your plan include things like if you are in an apartment complex and you're on like the second or third floor and you have a window and no balcony or a balcony and you have a tornado or a fire and you need to get out, you need to have a plan on how you can get out of that window if you can't go through the stairwell. You know, that's one of those things people don't think about, like those old, like, just rope ladders that throw it off the edge or something. And practicing that, because they're kind of tricky, and you might not, you know, you might be okay, your wife and kids might not be okay, or vice versa. Or you may be too big to use the ladder, and you may have to, you know, like we said last week with the spring diet cleanup, you know, you may need to work on that. So yeah, plan. Do your plan. It's not fun, but you got to do it. And, you know, like I said, figure out your biggest things that could happen and plan to successfully survive them. And we'll talk about, you know, staying or leaving later. But number one, knock out your plan. Number two, after you have your plan, you should keep somewhere safe, and that someplace safe could be a blackout kit. So just like I've used like just a milk crate. Like you just get a milk crate and you put some stuff in it. You know, like if you have kids, maybe you put a board game in it and, you know, candles, flashlights, spare batteries, maybe some canned food, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that if a blackout happens, you just grab that container and your whole family knows where that container is at. So you can grab it and you're taken care of. You know, it's not stressful. It's like, oh, where are the flashlights at? Because, you know, you're like, I got a flashlight in the junk drawer. And then you're like digging through the junk drawer in the dark and you can't find it. And your wife's screaming at you and it's not fun. If you're in my house, finding a flashlight, though, is not hard. You know, most of us preppers are kind of flashlight nerds and we probably have several. And I have a new one coming and I'm excited about. And I will be giving away one soon. And I have a big contest coming up. And I need to give away a bunch of stuff. Yay, giving away stuff. So yeah, have your blackout kit. You know, like I said, all the stuff you need to have in it. Maps, emergency. Like basically if you duplicate a lot of the stuff that's going to be in your documents binder that'll be in your car, you can keep a spare one in your blackout kit. And you could have things like phone numbers. Like maybe you have the phone number to a tree removal service. Yeah, you probably can do it yourself. But what if, you know, a tree falls through your window and breaks your arm? You're going to go use the chainsaw one-armed? Maybe your wife and kids can use the chainsaw. Maybe they don't want, I mean, maybe you don't want them using it. Maybe they're not trained. Like, there's a lot of things. So having those important numbers that you could use in one of your disasters, your insurance company, probably a good idea to have. That needs to go in your blackout kit. Your blackout milk crate. It's what I usually use. You can use a box, a Rubbermaid tote would work really well too. And they have cool, like, sort of yellow and black ones that look like, you know, disaster kit, emergency, industrial safety kits or whatever. I like those. That's what I keep my battery backup system in when it works. So yeah, check your backup power. And this is how we're going to segue into my backup power failing on me. I had checked it and it was fine. And when I needed it, somewhere in between the time where I checked it and when I needed it, the Schumacher battery trickler charger died. I haven't taken it apart and looked at it to try to figure it out, but it was dead. And apparently it had been a while, so the battery, my marine battery, had died, which is not good for the cell at all. The battery may be salvageable, but it won't be as good as it was, unfortunately. So yeah, that's down, and I don't know how it died or why it died, but that's at least two components of my backup battery system that you replace now. So really, I have an inverter for nothing, annoyingly. So yeah, had that been a real disaster, I would have hated that. So it's, the power's out for like an hour or two. So that was a good check, you know. Oh, good. I cooked over a mason jar that did not have my tea in it. So yeah, check yourself before you have those things. And, there's only so many times. Like, you're not going to check your battery backup or your batteries and your backup power daily. So, you can set a monthly check, and that will, that's about as good as you can do. I'm not going to sit there and say you should check your battery backup weekly or daily, because you're not going to do it. I know you're not. I'm not going to do it. A good indicator for me would have been that I hadn't heard if I, and I would pay attention, but usually I can hear the trickle charger going, charging, and, it'll go off for a while, and then it'll detect where the battery goes low, then it'll come back on. And if you listen for that, then that could be a sign that, I hadn't heard that in a while. But really, just like first of the month, check on it. Check the battery condition. Check that it's charging. And in between that month, it's, you're just hoping that it works. And I hate that, but I also know that, unless you're going to have two battery backups and check them both once a month, that, that's how you can ensure that, you'll be good. But I just know that if I'm like, you should check it weekly, compliance will basically drop to zero and it won't get done. Check it first of the month, every month, probably going to happen. So, and freak accidents happen. Maybe there's some sort of, and maybe Harlan Meeks from the Low What Living podcast will know. Maybe there's a, some kind of system you can rig up so that you can just check, it'll start beeping if power is interrupted and it's not charging, or a light will come on or something. Maybe there's some sort of trick you can do so that if the trickle charger fails, it'll alert you right away. Maybe some of you Arduino nerds can program something send a text message to you, but that would be the best, to automate that. Still check it once a month to, see if things are going, but an automated, if it dies, bam, you want to know right away. Cause I don't know. And, it bit me, so I don't know, and the same goes for your batteries. Check to make sure that you have batteries, if you have, you should have rechargeable batteries. You're charging them and replacing them. Not that your kids are taking them for their devices and then losing them or throw them away and come and ask you for new batteries. And, you're just throwing your batteries away. If you take batteries, you bring back batteries. If you don't bring back batteries, you don't get batteries. That's the way it goes. Check. Like I said, this stuff can be done once a month. If you're in Tornado Alley or you're in an area that's prone to more power outages or disasters, maybe you do want to do this once a week. But I just know that saying that most people aren't going to do it. So, you got to balance it, if you give advice and no one does it, then it's like a bear shitting in the woods. Did he really shit? Who knows? So, yeah. This is going to be a short episode. I may have to do a bonus episode to make it up to you guys, but that means it'll get up faster. So, yes, I know. I know six of you, like eight listeners right now, just like made a "that's what she said" joke. "That's what she said," James. Yeah. God, without Cash Potato Mike here to make all the stupid, dirty jokes, like, I'm having to assume that y'all are doing it in your head. Like, you're all Cash Potato Mikes right now. I hope you're not, though. We did the fitness challenge. We got a couple people that entered, and that is awesome because that's a few people that were less couch potato-y than they were the week before. High five. And there's some good times put up. So, very proud. And week two of the fitness contest will keep rolling on. So, hopefully you beat your times. Even if you didn't post it, if I know some of you guys don't do Facebook. So, if you just drop me an email and say, "Hey, I'm doing the fitness challenge." Thanks, James. Whatever. So yeah, let's, you know, you say the big thing here is thunderstorm takes your power out, and rural people, you may be out of power for a while. So it goes. Tornado knocks down a substation, you may be out of power for a few days. You know, it could happen. Maybe not, but it could happen. So you have food stored, but if you don't have methods to cook said food, do you really have food? I mean, we're back to the bear shitting in the woods again here. You know, you can have all the food, and I mean, some of you army vet guys are just guys, because, you know, come on, to be honest, most of us guys aren't very picky. We'll just shovel shit down our throats and just, you know, call it good. Like, oh, that was a good cold can of beans, I enjoyed it, you know. Whatever, like, trademark of being a guy is, you know, we don't, most of us don't have the most sophisticated palates. I'm not a very picky eater. There's things I don't really care for, but I can shovel down most things. Hence why I needed a spring diet cleanup. It's just not even really that bad, to be honest, but, yeah, some of your significant others or kids can be real picky eaters, and cold cans of beans may not do it for them. They might at least want warmed up cans of beans. So how are you going to do that? You know, a couple methods is, you know, if you have a propane grill, you know, having some extra canisters. And, you know, you can do all your cooking on that. That's good. I mean, and it tastes good. If you, like me, charcoal grill, have a couple extra bags of charcoal. And then there you go. It, you know, some things it will do better on. Obviously, charcoal grill, maintaining temperature for things, you know, like heating up beans and stuff on it would be kind of a pain in the ass. Camp stoves, they'll do real good. I've got several camp stoves that use various kinds of, you know, gas. I have a Coleman, like, grill camp stove thing. It runs off butane, and if the store is in stock and you can get butane, then that's good. I used to use that for all my cooking, actually. Well, for all my food cooking, not my boiling of liquids. For the most part, just because it was a bit slower than my pocket rocket. So I'd use my pocket rocket to boil water for coffee, and then I would use the Coleman stove to cook my meals on. And I just had a problem keeping butane in stock. The store just kept running out, and, you know, and I would stock up a bunch when I had it, and then they would be out for dry spells, and, you know, I would use up my stores, and then, you know, they were available on Amazon, but it was like in huge cases, and it was like hundreds of dollars, and I was like, nope. So yeah, that didn't work for me. And, you know, now that I have the electricity working right, I just use an induction cooktop and that works beautifully. But if the power's out, the induction cooktop, not going to work. And I'm sure that even on a battery bank, it would suck too much power. So, yeah, you know, the Coleman stove, like I said, the pocket rocket. I've got a solo stove, you know, that'll burn twigs and stuff, and it'll just go to town on that. You can make one. I've got instructions on the website, Sorrelpunk, on how to build your own, like, hobo stove. And, you know, just empty coffee can and just, you know, you could even – I use a drill to punch out the holes in mine just because I like the way it looked. But you can just use the church keys to pop holes in it. And it's even easier, you know, and that's more like kid friendly. Like you can have your kids get a church key and pop little holes in your buddy burner. So make sure you have a way to cook. You know, your family will thank you, and we may be able to shovel in cold beans, but man, a nice steak on the grill, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. Couple things. You know, I almost don't even want to suggest people even buy weather radios anymore, just because it's. I mean, if you have an emergency radio that has weather band stations on it, there you go. But with cell phones and either the apps and just built in, like everyone's phone I know is like I've been at stores before. I've been at stores. Like big box stores, when a severe thunderstorm was coming through, and you hear the entire, like everyone's pocket, you know, wah, wah, you know, give that emergency broadcast signal because everyone's phone is being broadcasted, you know, the storm warning. Without a fail, like everyone gets it. And creepy as that is, you know, when they could just send that to everyone's phone, like when the CDC did it for some kind of prank. What was it, like the end is near, but not today. Carry on. This is a test of the CDC or something like that. I was like, I got excited. I almost reached for my AR-15. I'm like, the end is here. Yes, finally. But no. But yeah, so I really, you know, if you're like, James, can you recommend a good weather radio to go out and buy? I'm like, look in the App Store on either Android or Google Play and just your phone will probably tell you. I mean, just you can Google the weather. I mean, if you see it's going crazy, just go look and weather.com will give you any warnings. Google will probably tell you anyway and your phone provider will tell you. I just at this point, I think weather radios are dead. If you have, like I said, if you have an emergency, you know, radio and, you know, I have like a Red Cross Eaton, hand crank, solar, all that jazz, it has, I think, weather radio built into it. And I've never used it. I've never once ever used the weather on that. Cause my phone has always told me. So even if you get like a shitty phone with no service, I think that emergency broadcast will still get sent out. I'll have to look and see if I'm wrong. But I think that's part of the E911 service that, you know, like if you get a phone and it's never activated or it's deactivated, it has no service on it, you can still call 911. I think that service will still get pushed. You know, as long as the phone is powered and on. So if you had a $10 cheapo Android phone and just kept it plugged up and had like, you know, prepper things on it like that, that would probably do better than that radio. So, and some of those have FM tuners in them. So whatever. And, I kind of want to, and like I said, this is going to be a short episode, just sort of, short and to the point and no jibba jabba. So yeah, whenever I tell people about, you know, bugging out, you know, if, you know, and I talk about bugging out, I would rather not leave my tiny home that I built. But if it's death, if I stay, certain death or high probability of death, and leaving is high probability, if not completely certain of living, I'm going to fucking leave. And people lose their shit when you even bring it up. They're like, nothing is going to make me leave my land. I will never leave. Well, if there is a wildfire coming and it's almost certain that it's going to burn your house down and there's nothing you can do, you know, if you stay, you and your house are dead. If you leave, you're probably going to lose your house, but you and your family are going to live. You need to get the fuck out of there, you know, and don't even bring up like those rare oddities, like that one guy that like invested in basically firefighter gear. And when the wildfires were coming, he hosed down his house and prepped it so it wouldn't burn. And then, you know, cut the shrubbery around his house so it wasn't that close to him. And then, you know, he fire fought the fire coming towards him and saved his house. I think his neighbors all went up in flames, but he saved his house. If you are in an area prone to wildfires, and if you have the disposable income, time, and training to do that, and that's a choice you want to make, that the wildfires are coming and you're going to stand out there and fight them, then by all means, if you can check all those fucking boxes, check them and stay. If you can't, you need to think about, you can't take your house when you die. It stays, and your life and your family's lives are more important. So, you know, get up your damn self and get the fuck out of there. I just hate when people refuse to do reason. Like, the answer for me has always been, if leaving, if bugging out gives me a higher chance of not fucking dying, then I bug out. If bugging in gives me a higher chance of surviving, then I bug in. Take the emotion out of it. Like, yeah, it's a math problem, you know. 2 + 2 equals bug out. 3 + 3 equals bug in. You know, it's whatever gives you the highest chance of living. If it's you know, the same either way. If you stay, you have the same chance of surviving as if you leave, then odds are you probably stay. I mean, that's where all your stuff's at. I mean, by that, it would obviously increase your odds. So I just wish people would stop getting so emotionally attached and refusing to listen to logic, you know. And I've gotten some arguments in some prepper groups about that. About, you know, basically people just refusing to I will never ever bug out. You know, what if that bug out simply means that a chemical truck overturned, your neighborhood is now toxic, and you were evacuated, and that bug out literally means going to the hotel or a fallback location for a couple weeks? Wouldn't do it. Well, you're dead then. Fuck you. You can only help people so far. You can't drag them kicking and screaming. So in your plan, you need to like decide that, like, you know, if you've got enough warning and, you know, damn sure, you know, Matt in Oklahoma, the tornado's coming straight at your house. I am almost 100% sure that you do not have a tornado shelter. I do not have a tornado shelter. I may dig a root cellar at some point, but now I don't. So, you know, they're like, it's on a dead beeline straight for your house. You're smart. I know you are. You're going to pack up your kids. Get the fuck out of there. Kids, get in the car. We got to get the fuck out of here. Why? Tornado's coming to kill us. Okay, Dad. You know, and you, by being a prepper and being aware, you can keep on top of these things, you know, like, tornado will come maybe kind of close. Maybe you just kind of hide in the bathroom, you know, and like what we're always, I didn't ever get that really. Hide in the bathtub because then stuff will trap you in the bathtub. Whatever. You know, and hell, now they're letting kids out of school because it's thunderstorming. So they'll be at home with you so you can all hide in the tub together. You know, if you have a basement, better place to go. You know, if you're in the general path of a tornado and you live in a tiny house or a trailer, you probably need to, like, stay aware of that and get away. Like, maybe you'll come back to a house not there, or maybe you'll come back to a fine, but you'll come back. You won't be dead. You know, I just think about that. Just take your emotions out of the equation to bug out versus bug in, and do it logically, like a man. Don't do it like a woman with all the emotions and stuff. You remove the emotions and you add in logic and reasoning, and then, like a man, you decide, yeah, I probably need to go. If you know where that quote comes from, drop me a line. And with that, I'm going to sign off on the solo episode. I will drag Cattail Mike's ass back here next week for another episode on something awesome. Maybe current topics, maybe current affairs. I don't know. Or maybe we'll tackle some basics. I don't know. But that's it. DIY to survive, you guys.